Hello, hello. Welcome to Season 4 of the Chicago Techies Podcast, the show that highlights the voices of Chicago innovators and their journeys. This season, we're shining a spotlight on founders, from bootstrap beginnings to bold visions. We're diving into what it really takes to build right here in Chicago. I'm your host, Cecilia Benitez. Thanks for tuning in. Megan, hi. Thank you for joining me for today's episode of the Chicago Techies Podcast. I'm really looking forward to hearing your founder journey, hearing your perspective about maternal health, and just learning more about the work that you're doing with your startup. So let's get started. Let's have you share your name, your pronouns, where you're from, and your current role.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for having me here. Never pass up a chance to talk about women's health and maternal health. So really excited to be here. My name is Megan Doyle. I use she, her pronouns, and I'm originally from the southwest suburbs of Chicago. Bounced around on the East Coast for a little bit for undergrad and grad school and some work experience in between, but have been back in Chicago since 2011, and really excited to be building Partum Health and raising my family here in my home city.
I love it. What suburb is it?
I grew up in Palos Park. It's out near the parks. So Tinley Park, Palos Park, Orland Park. They're kind of like all stacked.
All the parks.
All the parks, yeah.
Yeah, I have a friend that just moved there, actually, in that area.
Oh, really?
So I like that place. It's nice.
It is
it's a little
nice,
far, right? Though, from downtown.
Well, it's mostly the traffic that's the problem. Yeah. But, you know, my parents still live out there. So we get to go out there. My kids like to think of that as their country home. Do some swimming, live the suburban life, and then we kind of come back to our home in the city.
Nice. Okay. Well, let's get to it. Let's hear about your journey. You know, what Partum Health became, like when it was just an idea, and what experiences kind of led you to push to start that startup.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, I think like most women's health founders, you know, there is a good bit of personal experience that drove me to start the company. But it also really ties in a lot of my background professionally. So I started my career really on the consumer side of the world and have always loved thinking about what motivates people to build affinity with a brand or buy a certain product. And, you know, that's, I think, still really embedded in how we think about delivering a great care experience is wanting to think of our patients as buyers, as consumers who we want, you know, to meet their needs and hopefully delight them. But I ended up going back to grad school after my first five-ish years doing a lot of that brand strategy, go-to-market kind of work. And while I was getting my MBA, two things were happening. One, in the broader market, like the Affordable Care Act was getting passed. So there was a lot of change in the healthcare industry that I thought was really interesting and also really high impact for kind of a broader societal issue, access to healthcare, you know, I think being core to how we continue to move forward as a society. And then on the personal side, my brother had been diagnosed with a recurrence of melanoma. And that kind of gave me a front row seat to his journey in kind of finding specialists, navigating decisions about clinical trials or medications. And I think coming from that consumer world, I was just shocked by how hard it was to find information, to navigate the system. And that was super motivating for me. And when I joined Boston Consulting Group out of grad school, I kind of raised my hand and said, I want to work in healthcare. Like, I want to learn this messy ecosystem because it felt like a place that both I had this personal draw and passion, but also relevant skills, because I think some of the things that are so core to the heartbeat of consumer companies, really thinking about how to meet people's needs and build solutions that speak to them, like, was really needed in healthcare. And so that's kind of what got me started in the industry. And then fast forward, so I spent about 8 years in consulting, working with health systems and insurance companies and all sorts of clients around the healthcare ecosystem. And during that time, I had two kids. So my kiddos are 9 and 11. And, you know, despite kind of working in the field and being, I think, a fairly proactive person generally, I was reading all the books and going to classes. I realized there were so many things missing from the maternal health journey. And in a lot of ways, they were obvious things, like getting home from the hospital, you like look at this newborn, and you're like, oh my God, now what? And for me personally, like breastfeeding was a huge challenge. And then you have to scramble, find somebody, figure out if it's covered by your insurance, all of these things that in my mind were backwards, right? We know people are going to have challenges with feeding. So why are we not proactively getting them support? Mm-hmm. And breastfeeding is just one example. I think there's a lot of complications that are really incredibly common as people start their families, whether that's mental health needs or even, you know, support for your labor and delivery itself, that are out there, but they're incredibly hard to find. We put so much friction and obstacles in the way of people getting that care. And so that was really, you know, my light bulb was realizing that there was a better way to be more proactive and more holistic in how we support people through their pregnancies and postpartums. Fast forward, I ended up leaving BCG right around the outset of the pandemic. So that was like both good and bad, lots of change happening in how people engage with healthcare. You know, personally, of course, kind of a shock to make a big transition at that point, but ended up starting Partum really with that idea in mind of how do we improve health outcomes? How do we improve the patient experience by getting all of the support that we know is, you know, often needed during the maternal health experience, but today is super disconnected from the care that most people are receiving.
Yeah. I love that your journey was super organic. Obviously, with such a personal, you know, personal story, I feel like every mom I know has had some sort of trouble during their pregnancy.
That's right.
I mean, even my co-parent, like we also like struggled with the breastfeeding and the kids, you know, were immediately on formula.
Like, yeah.
And also with twins, you know, even harder on her body. And yeah, it's definitely a need. So obviously you mentioned the Boston Consulting Group. All of those experiences essentially shaped your approach for how to building this health tech startup.
Yeah.
What would you say was the biggest learning while you were in your career and then transitioning to that founder role?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the hardest things about building in healthcare is that it's an incredibly complex ecosystem. And that's the way our system like functions or doesn't. And so I think my time at BCG was so informative because it really meant I was grounded from the beginning, not only in what do patients need, which was, you know, informed, inspired by my own experience, but also from the data. So BCG is an incredibly like data rich, analytically driven kind of organization. And so one of the first things when I was noodling on this idea was to go to the clinical research and say, what do we know about how we can actually move the needle on health outcomes and impact cost? And that's kind of related to the second piece that I think was foundational from my time at BCG is really learning how funds flow across the healthcare ecosystem is so important. Because if you have an idea for something that really meets a patient need, but there isn't a way to reimburse for that care, there isn't a way to, you know, justify the investment with showing how you can reduce costs overall, it's really, really hard to just action on insight alone. You need to have some understanding of how are we going to get this care paid for? How are we going to come up with a model that not only meets the patient need, meets the clinical objectives, but importantly, like has a pathway to get paid for. And so that's what I would say is like the biggest thing I learned from my time at BCG was how to align those different things. And, you know, a lot of people who build from a place of personal experience don't necessarily start with that head start of, you know, understanding like what's a CPT code and how do we think about value-based care and all of the things that were really, you know, something I took away from my time at BCG.
What are some of the services that Partum Health offers?
Our approach is really to help patients get the combination of care that goes beyond what their OB provides or their midwife provides. So we focus on a variety of different areas, including birth and postpartum doula care, lactation support, behavioral health, nutrition, and physical therapy. And we do this in a hybrid model. So we're really building market by market so that we can provide people in-person care when that's what works best, But we also offer everything virtually and a really kind of digital forward experience in terms of our care navigation and patient education. So the aim is really to bring the best of in-person care along with all of the tech-enabled approaches that have really become, you know, part and parcel to the telehealth world, so that people are getting the care that they need, when they need it, how they need it delivered. So that's really our goal. So we know most people get their care from their OB, they get their care from their midwife, but it's really all of those things that go beyond that. So figuring out your challenges with breastfeeding or your recovery and what to do when your pelvic floor doesn't function quite the way it did before, right? We're really trying to make it so that people have proactive and preventive care that helps reduce those complications and helps treat them when they do arise.
That's very intentional. I love that. I love that you were very thoughtful about that approach.
It's really starting to dig into the data. And what you see immediately, if you start looking at maternal health data, one, the U.S. as a whole is really not competitive with our peer nations when it comes to maternal health. So of all of our industrialized peer nations, we are dead last when it comes to maternal mortality. And that's sort of the leading indicator or the most common measure that we use to kind of compare maternal health around the world. And then the second thing is we have these massive inequities. So here in the U.S., women, particularly Black women, are at a risk of 2 to 3 times higher rates of maternal mortality, and also have additional complications with maternal morbidity relative to white women. We also see disparities based on the type of insurance. So families who are have their health insurance through Medicaid have higher rates of complication, higher rates of maternal mortality. And so it's just, there are so many clear signals that show, hey, we've got a systematic problem here with not getting people the care they need, you know, through their pregnancy and postpartum. And so once you start down that rabbit hole, like for me, it was, oh my God, this is the problem that all of my different experiences are leading me to want to do something about. And so it's really looking at like all the data that says where we are as a whole, but then individually, like how are we doing on these common complications? And then, as I mentioned before, overlaying that with how can we actually get paid? How does this fit into the reimbursement model in our system? And how do we create innovative ways to thread that needle between what patients need and want, what the data tells us is effective, and you know, how our reimbursement works.
What has surprised you the most about scaling part of health, and like either from a business perspective or just a community standpoint?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the hard things to figure out is this balance between thinking about every individual patient that you serve and, you know, how do you create models that can scale so that the impact you're having, you know, goes beyond that one individual family. And I think that's one of the things for, you know, early stage, you're both trying to kind of refine, you know, what is your value proposition, really understand your consumer needs deeply. And sometimes that requires, you know, being a little bit creative around the edges of what you do for people, or exceptions to, you know, what you thought your approach was going to be for, you know, caring for them or helping them navigate the support they need. And at the same time, at some point when you're growing, you have to figure out, you know, how do we do things in like a repeatable way? And I don't know, I think what's been really exciting about what we're doing at Partum is that partially just bringing people who are so passionate about the work that we're doing, you know, into the team. Like, I think we've found a really good way to balance that and really keep at the heart of what we do, like trying to make every single family feel supported and feel seen. You know, our number one company value is here to serve. And that's how we approach every single family that we're working with. But it's hard. It can be hard every, you know, decision you're making to say, okay, we're going to, you know, make an exception or ask somebody to go outside their service area or, you know, do these things. You're always weighing that balance of doing what feels right for the individual customer versus making things that you feel can scale and be repeatable and you know, honestly, like meet up with the financial expectations of what it means to run a business that is going to be venture backable and going to be scalable. And, you know, I think early stage companies just have to find that balance. And, you know, you're often just navigating that tension and saying, okay, is this okay to do once? Is it okay to do five times? Is it okay to do 10 times? And when do you, you know, try to sort of go outside of the strategy or the approach or the framework? And when do you need to stay within it?
Yeah. Well, I love that intentionality that you are bringing it for the families, you know, like making sure that everybody feels seen. I think that's already a win in itself, you know, and I'm sure it's pretty rewarding when good experiences are happening for them.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the things that really, you know, fuels our team. We do make an effort to regularly share, you know, patient feedback, patient stories, and that's both good and bad, so that, you know, when things don't go 100% according to plan, we also are rapidly figuring out how to avoid, you know, something getting repeated that didn't turn out the way we wanted. But really being able to always stay centered and focused on the impact we're having and why we started this business is to make sure families get access to the care they need, they have great high quality support, and ultimately we're helping them, you know, feel healthier and feel more prepared for the onslaught of parenting and family building, right? So we're really doing it for those reasons, and you have to make sure that that's part of the conversation, you know, for your team, and that you're always kind of coming back to that as your motivation and your mission.
Yeah. And you mentioned, you know, this idea of like being venture backable and scalable. So let's dig there a little bit.
Sure.
On what has been your experience, you know, fundraising?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, everyone, regardless of what sector, and especially if you're a first time founder, there's always going to be learnings, right? So the first time you go out and fundraise is the first time you've done it. And there's lots of, I think for me, like the advice that's come from other founders who've navigated it, who've been super generous in giving feedback on the pitch, in, you know, helping us to think about our strategy and who we're reaching out to. Like that's been so important. And still to this day, like, even though now I'm running our third fundraise, you know, I'm still getting advice all along the way from investors, from founders. And it's really about that like constant iteration and improvement in, you know, the pitch you do today is better than the pitch you did yesterday. But that can also be obviously really, it's hard. You have to have a lot of resilience, I think, going into it. You know, I would say the one thing that probably from the beginning, we had like very clear understanding that we were trying to build a business that really had an impact and also, you know, made money. And you have to think about, especially in healthcare, not just what's right for the patient, not just, you know, where do we have great evidence that this is going to create impact from prior research, but the third and trickiest thing that we think about is how do we make sure that this can be reimbursed, get paid for? And in healthcare, that's like a very complex question. So one of the things that we are, you know, very focused on now is really thinking about like the full end-to-end economic picture of the business. And that changes over time, like early stages. It's just, how do I make sure that what we're doing makes sense? The investments we're making on marketing, for example, have a strong ROI. But as you get more sophisticated, you have to think about like, what's the long-term economic profile of the business? How do we balance like our gross margin versus our operating margin and, you know, ensure that we have a path to profitability while also doing things that scale and be attractive to investors? And these are things that I didn't necessarily know clearly at the outset, other than the like core principles of just making sure, like I said, that what we're doing was right for patients, but also had a path, you know, to generate revenue and ultimately margin too.
Yeah. And I'm actually curious about the support that you've gotten here in Chicago. Do you have Chicago-based investors in your cap table?
Yeah. You know, we actually have a lot of our investors are based here in Chicago. Originally, when we raised a pre-seed in 2021, and that was a mix of We had some friends and family who invested, whose support has been, you know, instrumental, not only in the, you know, financial investments, but also honestly, like encouraging and believing from the beginning in what we've done. And, you know, we've had, you know, really some exciting investors who came in as angel investors who wrote, you know, really meaningful checks in our first round. We're a lot of Chicago based folks. And we continue to, you know, work with them and lean on them, and they've continued to support us in subsequent rounds. And then for our seed round in 2023, interestingly, our lead investor is based in Austin. That's True Wealth Ventures. And they're a fantastic fund. They were really well aligned because they focus on healthcare and sustainability is kind of their second area, and really focus on female founded and female led companies. And you know, beyond our seed or beyond our lead investor, we had a number of Chicago investors, both the folks who invested in our pre-seed continuing, but also a number of funds here in town. And I think that's in some ways like a reflection of people here really focus on those like fundamentals of the business and how are you going to scale. And I think that's aligned well with the approach that we've taken. There's not a ton of like smoke and mirrors in what we do. It's, you know, people need care. We get it to them, and we're trying to do it in a way that, you know, makes economic sense. So I think that aligns like pretty well with a very pragmatic lens that a lot of Chicago investors bring. And we've continued to get support both from the funds, but also, you know, I think even though our ecosystem might be not the same as what you see on the coast, like I know some of my, you know, wisest fellow founders are based here. I see them regularly. We're constantly helping each other, you know, improve not only the way we operate, how we build culture at our organizations. And so I do feel like very connected to and embedded in the Chicago ecosystem here.
Good. That's good to hear. Last week I was with Jill Miller, or a couple of weeks ago, and she mentioned that she had kind of struggled at first, getting the support here. But again, different sectors, different investors, like different thesis. Like it's just complex. Venture capital is just very complex.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say like in general, the experience in Chicago is, you know, there just isn't the same volume necessarily of startups, of exited tech founders, right? So there, you definitely have to like work to find it. It's not handed to you by any means. And I think the challenge for, or maybe not the challenge, but in this case, some of the silver lining is that I didn't come from a previous startup. So I kind of didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So I think if you have exposure probably to what's happening, you know, out in the Bay Area, like this is and does feel very different. But I do think we've been fortunate in having a lot of folks here in town who've really stepped up and supported what we're building.
Curious if you can share any patient story that really captures like the kind of impact that your company is bringing and aims to have.
So back in our early kind of duct tape and bootstrap phase of Partum Health, we had one of our first handful of patients that we were supporting. You know, she's a first-time parent, was particularly nervous about breastfeeding, which anyone who's been through the journey with breastfeeding knows it very rarely goes as expected. And, you know, our core belief is like you deserve and most people need a lot of support in figuring out how to do that very quote unquote natural thing. Mm-hmm. At any rate, she had arranged with us to make sure that she saw a lactation consultant in person. And so once baby arrived, you know, she was healthy. Things were looking good. They were discharged, sent home. And we had one of our lactation consultants, Lisa, going out to see this patient. And, you know, while she was there, they obviously like covered all the basics of breastfeeding, saw baby latch, all the things. But what Lisa noticed is that this patient was also like kind of short of breath. And so she asked her a little bit more about these symptoms. And, you know, as an exhausted parent of a newborn, sometimes these things aren't registering with you as being off or being problematic. at any rate, Lisa, you know, kind of knowing that this might be a problematic symptom, really encouraged this patient to reach out to her OB and also to get her blood pressure checked. And what the patient learned is that, you know, she had postpartum preeclampsia, which is an extremely dangerous condition. And it's one of those things that as we thought about why we wanted to start partum, that more frequent contact with healthcare providers, particularly in the postpartum period, is truly missing from the way we deliver maternal care. And in this instance, like Lisa being face to face with this patient, you know, she was able to see things that the patient herself didn't recognize. And, you know, she was able to get care, ended up having to be readmitted and given treatment that helps prevent postpartum preeclampsia from progressing into what can be, you know, a fatal condition. So in this instance, it was one of those things that it's not like we were only looking to prevent postpartum preeclampsia, but we knew that early contact with trained healthcare providers, you know, can help us avoid some of those really serious complications. And so it was very early days. We were kind of, you know, is this thing going to work? Do people want it? You know, can we get paid? That was sort of the phase we were in. But having this impact and having a patient, you know, truly call us and say, like, I think this visit saved my life, right? When that happens in the first handful of patients you're serving, it's like, wow, okay, we've got to keep doing this. It's hard to figure all the things out at an early stage startup, but, you know, we knew from the beginning the impact was there. And we've continued to see lots of instances where, you know, patients either we do now, for example, like perinatal mood and anxiety disorder screening for all of our patients. And we've had instances where, you know, we followed up with an OB to say, hey, we got in touch, this person screened positive, we're working on getting them into therapy this week. And, you know, had the physician say, oh my gosh, I've been trying to encourage this person to get, you know, more support throughout their pregnancy. Like, how did you do it? And I really think that's the thing, is we need, you know, multiple forms of support. We need to be able to build those relationships with patients so we can spot the complications, we can help them navigate to care that they need. So it's truly, you know, one of the things, like I said, we share regularly with the team. We always come back to that patient impact.
Yeah. And as you were sharing that, I couldn't help to wonder about, you know, like how equity in maternal care is such a huge issue, especially for underserved communities. So I'm curious, yeah, if you thought about that, you know, like how does partum kind of plays a role in improving access and outcomes in all communities?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, one of the things very early days when I think, as I mentioned, I kind of started thinking about this problem and then reading about it and going deeper, and the disparities in maternal health outcomes are so glaring. For listeners who aren't aware, you know, particularly Black women in the U.S. Suffer maternal mortality at 2 to 3 times the rate of white women. We see lots of disparities, not only across race and ethnicity, but also socioeconomic. So it's a really important thing when you're building in maternal health to have front and center. I think what we've approached at partum is, one, thinking a lot about the diversity of our team. And that's partially because we know that serving patients, you know, you want to be able to give them a really like culturally congruent experience whenever possible. It's definitely an area we're still, you know, growing and learning. But in terms of who is serving them and then, you know, the materials they might be receiving through our courses, for example, we think a lot about ensuring there's as diverse a representation as we can achieve. And now what's one of the things that's really exciting about the position we're in, you know, we started serving initially a commercially insured population at Partum Health, always with the goal of thinking about how to make this model of care where you have more frequent contact, you have more access to specialists, you have virtual care, you have in-person care, right? Really wanting that to be the universal model accessible for every family. That's the path that we're on. And now we have just launched an ability to serve Medicaid patients here in Illinois, which is super exciting. So, you know, it's definitely a hard topic, but one that we are thinking about when we recruit team members, when we think about our growth strategy, And increasingly, you know, my belief is in hopefully 5, maybe 10 years, you know, just like you go to an OB, no matter if you're, you know, living in the like southwest side of the city here in Chicago or, you know, up in the northern suburbs, like you're thinking about your pelvic floor, your mental health, your nutrition, all of the things that today are really challenging. And I will say just one of the things that from the beginning, you know, again, I mentioned all the reading and you immediately, you can't get too far in reading about maternal health and especially underserved communities in particular without seeing that doulas are an intervention that has been shown time and time again. Getting people support from a doula is one of the things that helps, you know, change the trajectory of their outcomes. And doulas are incredible because they are non-clinical, but they are trained and knowledgeable about all things pregnancy and postpartum. So they really serve this unique role of building a bridge for patients who maybe don't have the best current rapport engagement and have been disenfranchised, you know, by the healthcare, like more the institutional side of healthcare. But doulas can really help to make sure that patients feel supported, you know, can advocate for themselves if they are experiencing bias. And it's one of the things that, you know, from the beginning has been such an important part of our model of care. So that's really exciting for us. It's not, there's no easy answer here and we're not, you know, at the finish line by any means, but it's really important to be thinking about it in everything we do and the way we design our patient experience.
Appreciate that. And thank you for your honest answer. Looking ahead, what do you think is next for Partum Health? Are you adding new services like integrations or expansions in the horizon or?
Yeah, we are busy, busy here. You know, I think I just previewed a little bit in, you know, our long-term goal is really that every family has access to this level of support that complements and extends, you know, beyond what our default maternal care model is. And, you know, we think some of the exciting things that we're doing to make that happen. One is really expanding to be able to serve wherever possible, not only a commercially insured population, but also, you know, patients who have their healthcare paid for via Medicaid. So that's a big, really strategic effort that has been underway for quite some time, but we're excited. I think last week, actually, we just served our first Medicaid patients here in Illinois, and we're on the same trajectory to do so in Michigan. And that brings me to kind of our strategic growth avenue number two, which is continuing to launch new markets. You know, we've started, particularly because we do a hybrid model where in-person care is a big part of what we do. You know, our growth strategy is really market by market. So we've been active in Chicago and Dallas and Houston, and now Detroit is the next city that we're launching. So that's really exciting. And then the third thing that we're working on are deeper partnerships with health systems. And the focus there is to be able to engage with patients, you know, early in their pregnancy and to really work collaboratively side by side with OBs and midwives who are providing that primary maternity care so that it becomes as cohesive an experience for the patient as possible. You know, most OBs and health system leaders we talk to are like, yeah, 1,000%, we want every patient to have this, but you know, they maybe aren't set up or built in a way where being in a patient's home, giving them that non-clinical support from a doula, these are things that are not, you know, cut and dry for a health system to execute, but it's really where an organization like Partum, you know, can help complement that care. And so that's another exciting thing that we've got our first one, I think, very close to you know, getting finalized and more in the pipeline. And we've been really excited about the reception we're getting from health systems because, like I said, they really want their patients to have the best possible high quality care and to make sure that they're getting all of the support that they have seen, you know, as gaps throughout their time practicing.
That's great. For you. Being able to care for folks that are on Medicaid is huge. I feel like there's so many complexities in itself there, but the fact that you were able to get that, you know, accomplish that, I think that's huge. Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, again, like fun fact, more than 40% of the births in the US are paid for via Medicaid. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's one of those things that a lot of people don't, you know, necessarily see. It may not be as visible, but from the beginning, it's like, once you know that fact, you have to think about, how do we, you know, put ourselves on a path to be able to serve that patient population. And, you know, we're really excited to be just getting started there.
Yeah. All right. So before we wrap up, I wonder if there is anything that you wish more people understood about the postpartum experience and or just maternal health in general.
Yeah, I think as a whole in this country, in this time in society, right, we have this really, this shift toward people like thinking about their pregnancy, their postpartum in a pretty individualistic way. And by that, I mean, they feel like they have to manage everything themselves and, oh, I should be able to figure this out. And, you know, social media definitely over-indexes us on how many parents are out there with, you know, beautiful, clean homes and adorable babies, you know, wrapped in the most beautiful swaddles. Like, parenthood is hard. You're going to get a lot of stuff thrown at you, you know, during pregnancy. You're going to have physical symptoms, mental health issues, like just such a huge transitional time in your life. And I think because it's so common, so many people go through it, we tend to really minimize that. And so what I would say is just what we're trying to do is both make sure that people who are experiencing, whether it's, you know, the common annoyances of dealing with pregnancy or postpartum, or, you know, more severe complications, like you need help and you need to be able to talk about these experiences. It's okay to get support. And whether that's, you know, you have budget to work with a postpartum doula who can come to your home, or you have access through your healthcare insurance or your employer benefits, which is great, you know, now that we have that coming online, or whether you really need to reach out to your friends and your family and say, you know, hey, I really know that if I don't get 4 hours of sleep or 5 hours of sleep, like I'm not going to be able to function. And you've got to be able to, you know, try to pull on those resources wherever possible, which is not easy. It's not easy. But I think what we want to do is normalize that you're probably going to experience some challenges. You're probably going to experience, you may not know if it's challenges with feeding or, you know, mental health or your physical recovery, but something's probably going to come up. And so you want to be able to get ahead of that. You want to be able to plan for it, both in terms of your like healthcare team that's supporting you, but also how your friends, family, and loved ones are showing up for you too. So we just really advocate for people to get proactive and, you know, not to be in any way ashamed if you need help, right? That actually like creates community when you can reach out to people and tag them in, you know, when you need extra support. So that's part of the like underlying social narrative that we're hoping to shift as we reach and serve more families.
Yeah. I mean, spot on. I mean, as someone who has seen multiple women in my life deliver children, you become a whole different person mentally and physically. And, you know, sometimes in good ways, sometimes in bad ways. And it's really challenging. And we definitely need that support from organizations like yours or even just like healthcare systems to be able to, you know, to support everyone. And this work is really important. So thank you for all that you do. For anyone else that wants to get more involved with Partum Health or just folks that want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah. First of all, we're always happy to, you know, talk with other women's health enthusiasts or, you know, whether it's partners, investors, whomever. Probably the best thing, if you reach out to hello@partumhealth.com, we are very on top of monitoring that. Anyone who's interested in getting care from Partum, we have a super easy form on our website that you can fill out and our team will get back to you really quickly. And we do a lot of the care navigation digitally. So you can text, email, call. We try to make it super easy for patients. That's part of the aim with building, you know, technology into what we're doing. So hello at partumhealth.com, check out our website. And we look forward to continuing to reach more folks and continue to spread the word.
Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you, Megan. This was great. I learned so much. And I truly, truly appreciate your work and wish you the best on this third round of fundraising that you're continuing to do right now.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Chicago Techies podcast. If you enjoy listening, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review on iTunes. Let's continue the conversation on social media. We are at Chicago Techies on all social media platforms. Thank you again, and we'll see you next time.